This message entitled Christmas, Not Just a Date, was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2020, by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is Luke 2, 8-20.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Matthew 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Amen.
I wanted to read a poem by A.S. Raitt, and I wanted to join my mother with us this day as our first Christmas in her heavenly home. Christmas in heaven. I've had my first Christmas in heaven, a glorious, wonderful day. I stood with the saints of the ages who found Christ the truth and the way. We sang glad songs of redemption, how Jesus to Bethlehem came, how they called his name Jesus, that all might be saved through his name. Oh, darling, I wish you had been here. No Christmas on earth could compare with all the rapture and glory we witnessed in heaven so fair. You know how I always loved Christmas. It seemed such a wonderful day. With all my loved ones around me, the children so happy at play. Yes, now I see why I loved it, and oh, what a joy it will be when you and my loved ones are with me to share in the glories I see. So dear ones on earth, here's my greeting. Look up till the day star appears, and oh, what a Christmas awaits us beyond all our partings and tears.
Billy, how about you leading everybody in prayer? Just go ahead and pray. Go ahead.
Lord, I do thank you for this time. I do thank you for this day, for this time of Christmas, that we can look to you and know that you came down from heaven to be born in a stable in order to die for our sins, that we would be able to follow you. I pray that our hearts and eyes would be open to you today.
Amen.
I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Christmas. Christmas, it's not just a date. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for your truth here tonight. Help us, Lord, to not try to narrow Christmas or Easter or anything else, dear God, down to when it is. There's far more to this whole thing than just the when. There's a lot of other questions to be answered. There's a lot of other things to look at, and we want your name glorified in it. So we thank you and we praise you and we love you, Lord, this day, dear God. I do pray, Lord, that you'll open our understanding to hear from you in a very powerful way today, and recognize above everything else, dear God, that it's not just a matter of when it was. What's the date? And I pray, dear God, that you would be glorified as we turn to you and as we desire to hear, dear God, from your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God. It's not just the date. Christmas is, well, let me start with this. The black velvety sky was clear and studded with sparkling stars that had looked down on earth since the beginning of time. Shepherds appeared to be sitting idly. And notice she says, appeared to be sitting idly by their flocks, because I agree with her. I don't think they were idle at all. I think they were busy. They are watching their flocks by night. They have to make sure the wolves don't get in there and coyotes and I don't know what all. They're not, you know, because we picture this, you know, you see cartoons or whatever about this scene and you see these shepherds, you know, like, you know, just practically falling asleep, lying on the ground. And I don't think that's it at all. Shepherds appeared to be sitting idly by their flocks, but in fact, they were keeping a sharp lookout for anything or anyone who might harm the sheep entrusted to their care. You see, a lot of commentaries suggest, and it's probably quite true, that these are not just shepherds out in the field watching sheep, taking care of sheep. It's not it. These are most likely sheep that were used in the sacrifices. These sheep have to be kept spotless. These sheep have to be pure. They can't have scratches on them. They can't get caught up in the brambles. They can't have things poking at them and pulling the wool out at this place or that place on the body. They can't get dirty, okay? They need to stay pure. In the distance, the lights from the town could be seen, and the noisy commotion could be heard as more people were coming into the town than the town could hold. And I think that's why the scripture makes clear that they got there, they checked it all out, and tried to find a place to stay, and there was no room. There was no room. The place was jam-packed. Okay, it's like the other day. You know, I stopped at Walmart. What was I going to pick up? Oh, the candy canes. I ended up going over to Big Lots or something and getting the candy canes. I wasn't going to deal with Walmart. I'm telling you, that parking lot had no cars, no spots left for cars, all the way out to the road. I don't think there was a one left in that area. And when you get into the store, the lines go back. I think they probably went all the way back to the back of the store. I was not going to wait in a line for a box of candy canes and maybe one or two other things that I might spot at the time and wait and wait for an hour or two to do that. It's just like at the gas station there. That used to be a lot cheaper than everybody else's, you know, in Worthington. I did that once. I stopped in there, had, I don't know, four or five cars ahead of me or whatever, and I waited for 45 minutes. I'm not doing that again, people. You know, this is my, it's not, you know, we all have time, and we just don't have time to waste. You know, we need to be keeping our eyes on the Lord. And I'm not doing that when I'm breathing somebody else's exhaust. So anyway, so there's noisy commotion going on in town. The place is jam-packed. It's filling up even further. And on the clear night air, sound traveled quite easily. You know how you're on a lake or something out in a boat and you can hear somebody, not a half mile, but say a quarter mile away, you can hear them talking. Not yelling, just talking. Water carries the voice, okay? So watch what you're saying. Like the clear night air, sound traveled easily, and somewhere they heard someone slam a door. Slam a door. And a baby cried, and the seed of the woman who would open heaven's gates and welcome any and all who placed their faith in him had been given. That baby had been given. Hope that was born that night continues to radiate down through the years until it envelops your heart and mind. At the very beginning of this service, there's a woman by the name of Ruth who spoke forth that poem. And I think you all realize by now that that was Billy Graham's wife. Okay? You want to know who this is? This is Ann Graham Lotz. This is Billy Graham's and Ruth Graham's daughter. Okay? I told you we're going to be seeing a family make their way to Christmas. And we're not done. But we're going to see this family make their way to Christmas. So that's Billy and Ruth's daughter. Okay? Now her dad put it this way. Christmas is not just a date on the calendar, hence our title here today. It's not a matter of, oh, you know, it's the 25th. You know, I tease you all through the year. I usually try to email you on the 25th of the month and say we got X number of months before we get to, you know, Christmas. I don't always remember to do that, but, you know, it's kind of fun. It's not just a date on the calendar, though, and it's not just an annual holiday. It is a day to glorify It is not a day, rather, to glorify selfishness and materialism, which is precisely what it has become. Christmas is the celebration of the event that set heaven to singing, an event that gave the stars of the night sky a new brilliance. Christmas tells us that at a specific time and at a specific place, a specific person was born. That person was, in the words of an ancient Christian creed, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance by whom all things were made. The Nicene Creed. The Lord Jesus Christ is who this creed is talking about. From the lips of him who came fell these words. Luke 19 verse 10 says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." That's Jesus, of course, speaking that. Amen. Like piercing trumpets, these words heralded the breaking in of the divine to human history. They declare that heaven has come to our rescue and that God has not left us to stumble alone on earth's pathway. What a wonderful and glorious hope we have because of that first Christmas. Now, if you were listening carefully, I already told you who that was. That's Ann Graham Lotz's dad. That's Billy Graham. This family is coming to Christmas. Through these various quotes, what they said about Christmas, what they believed about Christmas, they're on their way to Christmas in what we're looking at here today. Praise the Lord. The young people, Mary, Joseph in particular, they got there. 90 miles, that's how far Nazareth was from Jerusalem. It's a grueling trip. Probably took at least 4 or 5 days to hoof it, to walk it. Probably at least. And that's a number of hours every day. And she's 8.5 months pregnant. But their focus was not on the blisters. It wasn't on the Charlie horses that they were getting in their legs from all of the cramping. No, it was all about the fulfillment of their destiny. But for them, he didn't let them slip into thinking their destination would just fall into their laps. I think a lot of people look at life that way. It's just going to fall into my lap. I don't have to head in any particular direction. I don't have to go this step or that step and take the place or go the direction that God says in his word. It's just going to plop into my lap. So I think there are people that just think that, you know, that that's the way it's going to end up. And it's not. They would get there, but there would be nothing easy about it. It would take trust every step of the way and in the midst of the slammed doors besides. Who could have guessed a cattle trough, because it talks about this manger, and also it talks about a shepherd, how could they have something in common? Because generally you think of a shepherd when he's leading his sheep. He's out in front. He's not driving them. If you remember the old Western from the 1950s and 60s called Rawhide with Clint Eastwood, they drove the cattle. They didn't just ride up front and they followed. They got behind them. Oh, they had people up front, too, to help guide them. But they put people in the back and they drove them. But the sheep are led. That's why the Bible says that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And when they hear that voice, they will follow. And we hope they do that often. You know, you always hear how they're about the dumbest animal around, you know, sheep. And then people wonder why in the world Christians are, called sheep in the process. Because, you know, come on, we've got somebody to follow in. We're too busy trying to have everything plopped into our laps. And that's not the way it's going to go. It's not. So who could have guessed there'd be a cattle trough and a shepherd, that they could have something in common? Sheep generally graze. They get into the green grass and it's growing and it's summertime and so forth, and they will just eat that stuff up. In fact, people, a lot of times I've seen this along the roadsides and stuff, there are people that have both sheep and goats in their yards, and that's their lawnmowers. Not some pasture someplace, just right there in front of the house, and they just, you don't need a lawnmower when you got that. Of course, you do need some kind of scooper, I think. But anyway. All right. Sheep graze on the growing grass while the cattle have their meal, oftentimes gathered, like a bale of hay, for example, and poured into a stationary manger. Both are necessary, okay? Both are necessary because there is a picture of a driving and there is a picture of a leading. Praise God. Both are necessary, and Jesus was both. Okay? The cattle hand, so to speak, and the shepherd, even at the same time. And we are then found by the grazing, and we're looking for him. But at the same time, we expect everything to get, a lot of times we expect everything plopped before our faces. And that's just not biblical. God is expecting for a people to see their need and come to God and say, Lord, please, Praise God. You'll remember Ruth Bell Graham said this. She said, "Lay them quietly at his feet one by one, each desire, however sweet, just begun. Dream still hazy, growing bright, hope just poised, winged for flight. All your longing, each delight, everyone, at his feet and leave them there. Never fear, every heartache, crushing care, trembling tear. You will find him always true. Men may fail you, friends be few. He will prove himself to you far more dear." It's what I shared at the very beginning of the service, and it's true as we come through this message as well. Praise God. He is not bound by space. He is not bound in space. He is fully present. His birth is not just a date on a calendar. His birthday is not just the push for a super sale at some store with coupons and all the rest of it. It's not a store sale. The only time for the Christmas songs is Christmas. A lot of people just don't want to hear about any Christmas songs unless it's Christmas. And then, have you seen how it's all gotten pared down now? It's not even all the Christmas songs throughout the Christmas season. Now it's Christmas Eve. And it might get even worse than that. You know, all day long on the radio stations, Christmas songs on one day. We're talking about the birth of Jesus, and we're going to give him one day. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Turn to Luke 2, okay? Turn to Luke 2. "And it came to pass," well, that's the beginning of Luke 2. No, go to verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, guarding it like a cage or a prison. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Okay, so these shepherds are there, and they're seeing this angel show up, and that had to be an amazing sight. Just even one angel to see him show up and talk about this thing. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. See, there was only one angel before, just one. And they were scared out of their socks. Okay? Now there's a multitude of the heavenly hosts, thousands and thousands and thousands, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Back up just a little bit to verse 11. Every question that could be asked, I think, is right here in this verse. Okay? Every question is answered right here. The who, the what, the when, the where, and the why. And not only that, but even the how. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Verse 11, "For unto you is born," that's the what, "this day," that's the when, "in the city of David," that's the where, "a Savior," that's the who, "which is Christ the Lord," and that's the why. Because he's not just some Christmas gift, he's Lord. Amen? He is Lord. And then he goes on, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And there's the how. All questions are answered in God's word. You know, a lot of people would like to tell you today, "Oh, well, the Bible doesn't talk about everything." Yes, it does. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In one form or another, yes, it does. Okay, we got to finish this part of the chapter. "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them." So now the situation has changed, and all the angels are away. And there are the shepherds and the sheep, and the stars are still in the sky. It's not like they went away, but it's not near as light as it used to be, because when those angels were out, man, it was like, you know, midnight at Walmart on an all-night sale. I mean, all the lights up above, you know, are all on, and you can see absolutely everything. And it's more than that, because we're talking about millions of angels, millions of them, okay? And they've gone away into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, let us now, let's get up and get moving. Now, let's go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. We've talked about this all through the Christmas story. Some places it talks about this will happen, this shall happen, and so forth and so on. And then it turns to is. And all through the rest of it, it's is. It's already happened. Praise God. And here, it's already happened. Jesus is already in a manger. Praise God. And they came with haste. Okay? With haste. And they found that Jesus in a manger. They found Mary and Joseph. When I was a kid, I used to think they found all three right there in the manger. Because it says they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. But, you know, they're not all three laying there in the manger, okay? Jesus is. And there's Mary and Joseph taking care of him. Praise God. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Praise God. And all they that heard it wondered at those things. Powerful word here. Thumazo is the word for wondered. Okay, it means to marvel. It means to be struck with admiration. Okay, it means he deserves it. He deserves the admiration. Now, let me not go any further at this point and just say, but you better go on from there. You better not stop at just marveling at something. You know, because people do that. Oh, wow, that's amazing. And then they go off thinking about something else. No. This is everything. Needs to be everything that you've got, you know, to muster together and come to find this wondering. It's got to go beyond wondering. It's got to go to further than anticipation. It's got to, you know what it's got to go to? It's got to go to surrender, praise God. It's got to go all the way. Hallelujah. It says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Okay? Pondered them, okay? She kept them, she guarded, she preserved it, she kept it safe, okay? She kept it carefully. The opposite is to give up, to give way, and to be abolished. That's what it is to do the opposite. Pondered is the Greek word sun ballow. Sun ballow. Sun means together, and ballow means to cast. So this is a matter of casting something together. Okay, to consider, to confer with. Okay, that's what this is talking about. It goes far beyond just wondering. Does everybody see that? It's going far beyond wondering. Okay, we're talking surrender here. We're talking submission. Praise the Lord. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Praise God. Amen. No, the fact of the matter is, Christmas is not just a date. Because, you know, we do that. We look at it and we go, well, it's back in June, so we got 6 months till Christmas. You know, we got this much to Christmas or that much to Christmas or whatever. It's more than a date. And I've heard people say, you know, well, I thought, we've all done this. We've all done this. We didn't look at our calendar carefully enough, and we thought we had more time. You know, we thought we had another week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. And lo and behold, there it is. Okay? Praise God. It's not just the X on a calendar. It's not the signal to dismantle the tree and the other decorations. In fact, it's the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is alive and well in those who truly live in Him. It is not just a date. Okay, it is not just something on the calendar, and it's not today's date, and it's also not tomorrow's date. Does everybody see that? Because you could say, well, tomorrow's Christmas. We don't even have to think about it yet. We still got another 24 hours or something. Yeah, right. But every day throughout the year, please remember that as we ooze into this new year, and that's about the way people want to think of it, I think. We're just going to get down to the end of this year, and we're going to ooze into this new year, and everything's going to be a tons better. You know, well, guess what? Not really. So don't get your eyes on whether something's better or not. See, that's what I'm saying. That's the problem. You can't have your focus on, well, this was a lousy year, so we got to get to a different year, okay? I'm telling you, the fact is there are things, good and bad, difficult and easy, in every year, okay? And I'm not denying that this has been tough. You know, this COVID stuff, a lot of people haven't made it. People are still struggling. They, you know, they're running out of hospital beds and all the rest of it. I'm not saying it's an easy thing, but I am saying that God is in control. Amen? And if God can keep a focus on when a woman is going to go to heaven throughout her whole life, and he can do anything. Hear me. Amen. If he knows that that was her time, and I believe that with all my heart, that was her time, that hasn't come for me yet. Got more for me to do, evidently. Same thing with you. It hasn't shown anywhere to be your time either. Today, or I should say, this minute. Because we don't know what's going to happen. We just need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? And we need to know that he's in control. He's in control. Can I say something here? I really hope you understand what I'm saying here. Because I know a lot of people look at it and they go, yeah, but if we did this, then it would change the time. If we did that, then it would change the time. Or if we had only done this, then she would have had more time. Or whatever. No. She had the time that God gave. And I think that's crucial. I am so glad that I saw that just a week or so ago. It's so important to understand that. Our God is over the whole thing. Amen? And when you go, or when I go, God's going to be over that too. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. I don't know how else to see life, to tell you the truth. Okay? It's a settled thing. And I know people look at it and they go, well, yeah, but that could have happened. And that, you know. And then people think, well, you know, because somebody passes away here in this moment, then she was going to pass away in that moment no matter where she was or whatever happened. You know, they look at it and they go, oh, she would, you know, somebody would have just keeled over, you know, at the same time. Whatever. No, you have to understand our God is in control, and he's in control of time. Amen? So if you didn't die back here, if you were in some other location, you weren't going to die. You know what I'm saying? Because he knows when that's going to be. And if he had it happen this way or that way or then or how, whatever, okay, then that's when it would have happened. I think we get too bogged down in trying to figure these things out. And I just, it helps me a great deal to think of it in terms of, you know, this is the way it is. Our God has his hand on every bit of it. And it was her time. Let me just say it that clearly. It was her time. And when our time comes, it will be our time. Amen? Praise God. It will be our time. So people think we're going to ooze right into the new year and it's going to be just nice and squeaky and easy and everything else. And I doubt it. I think God is putting us through some stuff to get us to see our need for him. I think that happened with 9/11, and I think it happens with everything. Praise God. Amen? Glory to God. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, I just want to thank you, dear God, that we can know in the depths of our hearts, dear God, that you are Lord. Hallelujah. You are Lord. And I want to thank you, dear God, that we can have that focus. We can see it that way, And we can know, dear God, that you have a plan. Hallelujah. There's a plan in all of these things. And we give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah.